So, imagine having over 33 billion rands just sitting in the bank, specifically earmarked to build homes for your country's most vulnerable citizens. You've got the blueprints, you have the land, but organized crime literally won't let you lay a single brick.
Right. It is just a massive roadblock.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into the South African Department of Human Settlements 2019 to 2020 annual report. We are looking at what actually happens when a huge national housing budget collides with, local extortion rings and a sudden global pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, the contrast between the government spreadsheet and the reality on the ground is just stark. Like, on paper, they successfully delivered over 116,000 housing opportunities that year.
Which sounds pretty great at first glance.
It does, yeah. But they actually missed their target of over 151,000, and that left more than half a billion rands completely unspent.
Wait, half a billion unspent? I mean, I have to push back a little here because when you hear about unspent government funds, you usually just assume it's typical bureaucratic incompetence or endless red tape.
Oh, sure. That is always the standard assumption.
Right, but leaving half a billion on the table during a massive housing shortage, I mean, if this was caused by local gangs, masquerading as business forums, demanding a 30% cut, why couldn't the authorities just secure the sites and arrest them?
Well, because these forums, they don't just operate as a few guys showing up at a fence. They function as highly organized, systemic extortion networks.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they bypass the physical laborers entirely and directly target the professional teams. The intimidation of engineers and project managers was so severe that feasibility studies for 106 different informal settlements were just completely halted.
That is insane. Just totally halted.
Completely. The threat level was actually high enough that the South African Council for the Project and Construction Management Professions had to officially step in. They briefed law enforcement just to try and protect their members.
So it just creates this paralyzing bottleneck, basically.
Exactly. I mean, you can't even assess the land safely, let alone actually pour concrete.
Okay, so you have this massive gridlock, projects are totally stalled out, and then March 2020 hits. The COVID-19 state of disaster is declared.
Right, basically throwing gasoline on the fire.
Yeah. And if you live in a dense city, you know how hard it was just to keep your distance in a local grocery store. So how on earth does a government manage social distancing in an already overcrowded informal settlement, especially when they can't even get onto the sites to build?
Well, that became the immediate existential crisis. The entire function of the Department of Human Settlements had to shift overnight.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, housing was no longer just about long-term urban planning. It instantly became an urgent, critical healthcare intervention.
So the physical layout of these settlements effectively became like the primary medical defense line.
Exactly. And to achieve that, they actually took 2.4 billion rands from the Urban Settlements Development Grant.
Okay, what is that grant usually for?
It's typically the fund that metros use to upgrade basic urban infrastructure. But they rapidly redirected it specifically to de-densify informal settlements in inner cities.
Wait, let's break down that term, de-densify. What does that actually look like in practice? Because, you can't just make a crowded settlement less crowded by snapping your fingers.
No, definitely not.
Are they moving people out or like building taller structures?
It generally meant physically relocating vulnerable households to temporary residential units, or TRUs, built on newly acquired parcels of land.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and alongside that, they had to rapidly install emergency water and sanitation services in the existing settlements. That way, people didn't have to constantly congregate at communal taps.
Wow. So it was a massive logistical scramble to just fundamentally reorganize living spaces.
Right, shifting the entire priority from permanent brick-and-mortar houses to immediate, life-saving spatial distancing.
It really highlights how a massive bureaucracy can, cut through the noise and pivot when a crisis forces its hand.
It really does.
And what's interesting to me is that this crisis-driven adaptation didn't entirely derail their other structural goals. I mean, they still had a standing mandate to allocate 30% of their contracting budget to women-owned businesses.
Yeah, and they maintain that focus despite the extortion hurdles and the pandemic reprioritization.
Which is pretty impressive.
For sure. Nationally, they hit an average of 23% across their major housing grants, so they didn't quite reach the 30% mandate nationwide. But the regional variations tell an important story about execution.
Right, like Limpopo province is the major outlier here.
Right.
While the national average sat at 23%, Limpopo actually blew past the target.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah, they allocated over 32% of their grant specifically to women-owned entities. It shows you that even under extreme logistical pressure, hitting those equity targets is materially possible if the political will is actually there.
Absolutely. It proves that targeted policy can survive extreme stress tests. I mean, a massive bureaucratic document like an annual housing report can look incredibly dry from the outside.
Oh, completely dry.
But when you look at the mechanics, it's not just about concrete and budgets. The built environment basically acts as a canvas where a society's battles with public health, organized crime, and gender equity just play out in real time.
Which leaves us with this final thought. We just saw how a sudden viral outbreak instantly mobilized billions of rands to fundamentally reorganize and de-densify urban spaces, just cutting through years of standard procedure.
Yeah, overnight.
It really makes you wonder, if a government can pivot that drastically and find the resources when forced, what other supposedly impossible city planning challenges, like ending that systemic extortion, are simply waiting for the right shock to the system to finally be solved?